I was on a rant. I was on a rant with Jason. God damn it.
Well, fuck you guys. Go join another podcast.
What a pro. What a pro.
Okay, folks, welcome to another edition of the Know My Podcast. My name is Mitch Maxine. If you have any comments or questions, please send them to the Know Mine Podcast Facebook page, my personal Facebook page, or the Know Mine Podcast email, which is knowminepodcast2021@gmail.com. So, folks, this episode of the podcast marks a bit of a milestone for us. It's the 24th episode, which amounts to one full year since the podcast came into being. A little bit of the discussions tonight are going to be about the podcast itself. Anyway, we'll get to that in a second. Let's go around the table and say hi to everybody. Let's go from the bottom up, and don't take that the wrong way. Jason, how you doing, man?
Yeah, good, man. Good. Glad to be back.
Never lost me.
Happy to be here. Glad to be back. That's about fine. It.
All right, there you go. Darren, how are you, man?
Oh, I'm so hungover right now. I'm happy to be here. I wish it had been Friday, but Sundays are a rough time for me, but we're here.
Lenny, good to see you again, brother. How are you?
Good, and happy anniversary to you, Mitch. And I think we need a medal for keeping this show on the road with all our madness over the last 12 months, so fair play, man.
It's been interesting. Rick, what's going on?
Hey, good to be back. Yeah, congrats on the whole year. Good stuff. Anyway, all right. Like we'll have another good one.
And Bob.
I'm not going to say that...
No.
Jesus Christ. I'm not going to say that. I said I'm not going to say it. That's
Jesus
it.
Christ.
So say something usable, please. Just say hi.
Say something. Hello. From the oppressed. Here I am saying hi from the gulag.
God damn it.
Lots of energy.
All right, guys, look.
Go ahead, I wanna censor me, you corporate whores.
Bowing down to the money.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
The sponsors of this podcast, they're the ones that are doing this.
Yeah, it's not me. It's the sponsor.
Hi,
Bob. How you
Everything's
doing?
Everything's great. Okay, I'm great. Everybody's great, I think. From what I hear, it's great to be back on the podcast for the one-year anniversary. Wait, sincerely, the podcast is a year old, and that's terrific. And I wish it well, and geez, let's hope this is a launching pad for many more years. It's great.
All right, let's get going on the talking points. The first little bit of the discussion is about the podcast in general, since it's the one-year anniversary. Let's go around the table just once and see if anyone has any general thoughts about the podcast. And it could be anything, how good it is, how bad it is, any thoughts that you have about it. And if you don't have any thoughts, just say, I don't have any thoughts, and move on to the next person. So, Darren, what do you think?
I still find it odd that it's been that many podcasts and over the course of a year, because I honestly don't remember it being that long. It seems like it was just started a few months ago. I know there's been a wealth of information and talking points and discussions and stuff like that. It just seems, it's almost like I just went to school for a month and studied this stuff every day, and it all seems to be crammed into my head. Like, it doesn't seem like it's gone on for a whole year. So I don't know if that's a testament to how entertaining I find it, that the time just seemed to have flown by and the information I get out of it, or I just suffer from dementia. I don't know, but it is a great milestone, and it just doesn't seem like it was that long.
I completely agree with you. The first podcast was aired in November of last year, very early in November of last year. Podcast we're recording now will be aired in about 3 weeks. So yeah, it's been a full year, but it doesn't seem like that. And with all of the technical issues we have, and all of the scheduling issues we have, it's amazing to me that we've managed to get a podcast out every 2 weeks. So,
for sure.
Anyway. All right. So, Len, what do you think?
Yeah, you've got to echo what Darren said. I mean, it has flown by. I remember when it started out. And, I mean, when you think about it, your first few episodes were solo. And they were quite in-depth discussions with just maybe one viewpoint coming back at you. And then it kind of morphed into this crazy panel every week, and it's kind of the dynamic has just rocketed, and for the better, because I mean, it has brought not just you chatting to somebody about their viewpoint, but I mean, we've agreed, we've disagreed, we've laughed, we've got annoyed, we've moments of high hilarity that couldn't even be published on this podcast. But every single one I've come off, and I have to say, I mean, I'm training since, what, 1988, and my whole perception of martial arts has changed in the last year, and mainly because of this podcast, and for the better. So I just think it's fantastic. It's been a year. It's flown by, and I hope it's for many, many more years, because I'm institutionalized now.
I think one of the greatest advantages of the podcast, for me, I have no idea what anyone else thinks or what the listeners think, if there are any listeners out there. For me, it's the opportunity, and it is an opportunity, to talk about stuff that is important to all of us. But because of the feedback we get on the podcast and because of the opinions that come out on the podcast, I'm in a constant state of psychosis, because I'm constantly reworking my perspective on everything. Like, every topic we have, I go into it thinking, this is what I think. And when I come out of it, I'm going, you know what? Some stuff was brought up on that podcast that's making me rethink everything. And to me, I can't imagine a better reason to do a podcast than to make people think about stuff. Jace, I know you haven't been on. Well, this is the second one you've been on, but you've been listening. What are your thoughts about the podcast, man?
Yeah, you know, when when it all started off, I kind of was wondering, you know, what, you know, how much life can you get out of this thing? But the discussion seemed to, you know, evolve and develop. And often, as you've said before, often you don't even get through all the talking points. So, yeah, so, you know, it seems like there's a lot of content to be had. And as Lenny said, you know, a lot of, you know, good laughs, good times, a few controversies. But as a listener, I've really enjoyed them, actually. I've looked forward to listening to everyone, and I've listened to just about all of them. Yeah, so it seems to be going good. And, you know, hats off to you for getting it going.
Well, not hats off to me, because this thing would not be going if it was just me. Hats off to everybody who comes on this thing, because it's you guys who keep, not only keep me motivated, but keep the interesting conversation flowing. Rick, you're kind of the same.
Yeah, if it was just you, like, it'd be so boring.
It would be boring.
Hi, it's Mitch again. I'm just sitting here in my basement. No one likes me, and no one will come on the podcast.
So, Rick, I don't know. You've been on, what, half a dozen of these things? What do you think?
At least, yeah, I think. Even the ones I wasn't on, I've listened to them all. And like the guy said before, that's been interesting. It's been fun. It's been a hell of a ride. Some days are worse than others, because we get carried away a little bit. But it does. You get ideas. Like you said, I've got ideas about things that, you know, the talking points. And then I get listening to Lenny and Darren and Bob, and it's like, yeah, maybe that could, you know, alter my views. So it's altering my views a little bit. And hopefully it does that for people that are listening, you know, or at least gives them another perspective. It gives us all a good talking points. And so I think it's been a good thing.
If the podcast made Rick change his mind about something, dear God. Okay, Bob, you're the last one up. What do you think? It's been a year. You've been on more than anybody has.
No, I've been on fewer episodes than you, but that aside, this whole idea of this podcast has been a great opportunity for us as black belts to talk and think about stuff that we don't necessarily talk and think about in our daily lives, and we bring topics to bear during our discussion, and it's great. I just think it's terrific for that aspect alone. And then I think about the students. Like, if we're the black belts, there must be 50 students for each of us who would love a voice like this. It just makes me think what a good flowering idea this whole thing is, to talk about martial arts freely. And there I am, and that's it.
I want to talk about one thing specifically that Bob kind of brushed up against in what he was just saying. I don't want to go around the table and talk about how good the podcast is. What I do want to talk about, though, is specifically, have we done any harm? And I want to expand the definition of the word harm. What have we done wrong? What haven't we done well enough over the last year? Because I really want to
I've got something to say about that. One thing that springs to mind is that You know, if this was a podcast only for black belts, that would be one thing. But everyone from white to brown belts are listening too. And I'm thinking that they may get the impression that we're a little too flippant and not cognizant enough about the formalities that should be in place in a dojo.
I want to speak to that. We've talked in the past about my perspective on the black belt mystique and how black belts tend to elevate themselves above everybody else. And I like the fact that we're flippant, and I like the fact that we're a little irreverent and aren't so beholden to that mystique of what it means to be a black belt, because I think that mystique is a bad thing. I think it's a negative thing. And I think when people go to class and all they see are the black belts being prim and proper, and I just hate that mystique of the black belts being held above everybody else as the icon to which people should aspire. If this podcast has demonstrated that, you know what, we're just a bunch of louts who just love martial arts and love talking about it, and if that dispels that mystique by any definition, I can't help but think that that's a good thing.
I get that, but on the other side, it's just like a workplace. There is how you treat your employees and how you behave in your personal life, and those are two very different things, and it should be the same way in a dojo.
Okay, sorry, before I speak to that, does anyone else have any comments on this topic?
Well, yeah. The thing with Bob was saying is
yeah,
there is a difference between the way the black belts act, like the way I act, in the dojo and out of the dojo. I'm not as flippant in the dojo as I am on this podcast.
I don't think any of us are.
I don't think any of us are, exactly.
But what's wrong with letting the students know that, you know what, black belts are actual people too, and we're not so high and mighty, and we're not so above everybody else in what we do. The only difference is we have a little more experience in the thing that we all love. Why should we take a pose that puts us above everybody else? That's one of the reasons
I
like... I
don't think any of the guys on this panel actually put themselves out there and do that. I don't put myself forward that way. At least I hope I don't. I hope I don't give that impression in the dojo that I think I'm better than everybody else.
But you have to admit that dojos are set up to look at black belts that way. You bow to us. You line up over there, we line up here. You must bow to us when you come into the dojo. The whole premise of a martial arts dojo is built around deifying the black belts, especially in the North American culture. In the Japanese culture, and Jason, please correct me if I'm wrong, bowing is a much more common thing in Japan, yes?
Yes, yeah, very common. It depends on what kind of dojo you're talking about. If you're going to a traditional karate dojo, you know, pretty much anywhere in the world, you're going to have that protocol. But a lot of the dojos I've worked out in are more, you know, sort of the mixed martial arts sort of things. You don't really have that sort of strict protocol or strict hierarchy. But, you know, you have your instructor and you have the students. And I don't know, it just sort of naturally goes that the instructor is the person who has the most skill. And the people kind of, you know, listen and do what that person says. But it's just less rigid, less defined than a traditional martial arts dojo would be.
I'm just thinking, because remember we touched on a previous podcast, I remember mentioning that I like the MMA style that Jason was just mentioning, that it's not as rigid, but I really enjoy going into a club where it is rigid and disciplined, and I tend to like both formats depending on the mood you're in or what you're trying to achieve. And I'm just wondering for yourself, the way you're looking at it now, if you were to go back in your memory when you were first training, would you have actually liked the whole situation to have been less formal and less rigid? Or after years of experience, you would rather not have yourself personified in that manner, but you wouldn't have changed it if you were to do it all again? Do you know what I'm saying?
Good question. Yeah, I do. And it's a good question. And I want to separate it out a little bit. I think you can run a good, hard, disciplined, long-term dojo without setting yourself up to be on a pedestal. To answer your question specifically, I wouldn't change the rigid, militaristic way that I was trained when I was coming up through the ranks, and I still believe to a large degree that that's how karate classes should be run. Having said that, I don't think I need to put myself in an unapproachable perspective in order to achieve that.
If I can jump in about my original comment about this whole thing, I didn't mean to say that black belts should be on a pedestal, and I didn't mean to imply that we should be thought of as better than. All I meant was that our personal lives should be separate from our professional lives when it comes to teaching, and that delineation should be clear at all times. I just was trying to express a slight misgiving that a podcast like this, where we goof around, messes up the lines between those two things.
I think that's doing a disservice to the intellect of the students. I think students can make that delineation. In class, it's this. Outside of class, it's that. And Bob, just to explore that a little more, does that mean you don't think black belts should go out and drink with students after class?
I really don't think that they should.
I think it actually enhances a student's experience if they can know their instructors outside of the scope of just class.
And they can,
yeah, that's a really good point to talk about. I've experienced both in the different dojos that I've been involved in. I prefer the latter. I prefer the separation.
Look, I believe very strongly that people are intelligent enough to understand when we are in the dojo, here's the dynamic. As soon as we step out of the dojo, now here's a different dynamic.
No, I don't. Man, this is a really touchy topic for me, man. I don't think so. I really don't. Well, where do you draw the fucking line?
This is an interesting question because, and we might be treading on to some fairly tender ground here.
That's why I didn't want to do this.
Go ahead and do it. Why not? If you're look, I think human interaction on whatever level supersedes almost any kind of formal educational thing. I think the way that humans interact is important, and I think it should take precedence. However, having said that, I also believe that in the dojo is in the dojo and out of the dojo is out of the dojo, and I think almost everybody is mature enough to be able to draw those lines.
Oh, man.
I want to hear Lenny's idea of that.
Yeah, Lenny. That's good.
Nice!
We've got a discussion going here.
Universal sound of somebody wrestling with their conscience.
Come on, Len, let's hear it.
I made a statement way back on an episode a long time ago. We were talking about, you know, what your persona is in and out of dojo. And I hearkened back to, I served in as a full-time firefighter and paramedic here in Ireland. And the day we joined the fire service, the opening line of our training officer was, "Welcome to the Goldfish Bowl." Because no matter where you are for the rest of your career, and even after you retire, you're always going to be associated with, there's a firefighter. So if you mess up something and a guy gets pissed on holidays and makes a joke of himself, it's not some Irish guy, it's, oh, a Dublin firefighter made a mess of himself. So I kind of hearken the same thing back to when I'm in the dojo, is that whether I want it or not, people perceive me as someone of setting an example. So as much as I can, when I'm out of the dojo, if I'm with people who are close to it, or families, or people are associated, I try and have a certain sense of mindfulness of that.
Oh, goodness.
But from my point of view, it's very different, Mitch, because it's not just a club where it's, but for me, it's my livelihood. So if I cause a rip-roaring controversy and people say, well, Jesus Christ, I'm not going to hear his club anymore.
Well,
I don't
I'm
have
not
a roof
talking
over
about, I'm not no, talking about no, stringing no. dogs up and flaying them alive. I mean,
no.
I'm just talking about, would you go out with a couple of your students for a drink after class?
I was coming to that. And that sense of things, that's in the back of my mind. Having said that, I try and distance myself from that a bit and let them see I'm human, and I will go for a drink, and I have done. And we make it a point that we try and have social nights with the dojo as much as, not as much as we can, but a few times a year we make a point of it. We do different events together. We use these, like, obstacle course runs. Darren's done a couple of this. We all get a coach for the day. We do this 20K hike through mud and obstacles and go for a meal and a few beers afterwards, just as a bit of a character
family
character
friendly.
Building. Yeah. Now, that would be more towards the adult side of it. I mean, the kids' side of it, yeah, we do a few events for them and so, but it's a totally different dynamic with kids. But in answer to your question, you know, I'm mindful of the fact that I have to keep the party line a little bit, but I'm also human, so I will absolutely socialise with students and members of the
Okay,
team.
So, Lenny, in a nutshell, and correct me if I'm wrong, you're fine with blurring the lines between instructor and human being. You're fine with... Okay. Darren, what do you think?
I see both sides. I keep thinking about the military, because the military has a certain rigid way of doing it, and definitely the sergeant or whoever's in charge doesn't go out and drink with the lower ranks. And there's a reason behind it, and it's been done like since the dawn of time. And so I was kind of agreeing with Bob in that sense, but also just the way that martial arts in general has changed over the years, the way civilization has changed, I tend to agree with you that I think nowadays people are able to make that distinction between the two. I know we're talking about the general public, which is generally stupid, but I think in that regard, I think when you were saying to Bob and you said, well, where do you draw the line? I think there should be a line drawn. I think Lenny kind of touched on it, that you do it with a bit of decorum. You can go out and you can socialize, you can have a few drinks, but nobody's going to be carrying you out of the bar. You're not going to start a fight because you've drank too much. Like, there, you do have to draw the line somewhere. I think you can socialize. People can see you're human, but they also want to see some sort of example to a certain extent. You know, you don't have to go overboard, but you don't, you know what I mean?
So I don't know, man. I think any time an instructor says that I need to live up to a persona that my students have of me, I find that distancing, and I find it, forgive me if I'm offending anybody, I hope I'm not, but I find it a little bit arrogant. I mean, I am so above you that I can't let you know that I'm a human being. Like, look, I get the separation in the military. We're talking about an organization that's responsible for the well-being and safety of an entire country, and you need, down to the most minute detail, ensure that. I get it. We're not talking about that here. We are talking about a martial art. It's something that for most people will be a amusing endeavor. For some people it will be a lifelong a passion. But I don't think I, as an instructor, should have to present any kind of particular face to my students in order to effectively teach them. Jace, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm just thinking back to my time coming up through the ranks at Jushin. You know, when I was coming up as a teenager, I remember we were over on Charlotte Street, and after each class, often you, Mitch, and some of the other, you know, higher ranks would go over to that, what was it called? The Twilight restaurant or something? Something like that. For a drink.
I was always,
because I was young, I was, you know, 14, 15, 16, I was always very intimidated to come.
Oh, intimidated.
And I would always, you know, walk around to the back of the parking lot and just wait for my parents to come pick me up. But coming through the ranks as I got older, you know, I did come with you guys to that place. And then when I came closer of age, I would often go to Mark Bell's place after class. But we would just go and we would drink. And it kind of broke down that pedestal that you talked
that
about,
barrier.
Mitch.
It breaks down that barrier. I think that's a good thing. And what I'm hearing from Bob, and Bob, correct me if I'm wrong, you're advocating keeping that separation, and I'm not sure I see a justification for that.
Yeah, I'm advocating for that, and I think that's where we just have to stop this conversation. We're just at odds.
Can you verbalize why you think that separation is a good thing?
My gut feeling is that as soon as you start to blur the lines, there's no stopping at blurring the lines, and that leads to like horrible scenarios.
Such as?
Having sex with a student.
Okay, let's talk about that. A number of people on this podcast have dated students. And it's and not just us, it's a thing. So let's talk about that. Bob, you obviously believe that's a bad thing.
Yes.
And it's not just dating students, it's being friends with students. It's blurring the line between student and instructor.
Right.
Can you feed some justification into why you think it's a bad thing?
All right. Just off the top of my head, a student in a sexual relationship with an instructor may not be mature enough as far as the actual art that they're studying is concerned to be able to delineate between romance and friggin' how am I doing in my grading tomorrow.
Well, look, I'm not... Bob, you seem to be latched into romantic involvement. I'm gonna widen the...
I'm just saying, let's get to the worst thing.
The thing is, I don't think that's the worst thing. I think people who are... And I've seen it. People who are close friends with people who are instructors of clubs expect sometime... Like, those lines can be blurred in the same way. So, let's just stop. Let's talk about it in terms of having interpersonal relationships
with
students. Whether it's sexual, whether it's friendship, whether it's dating, whatever it is. Why is that necessarily a bad thing? And I'm going to speak in Bob's defense here. A lot of people have trouble crossing those lines. A lot of people have trouble saying, I'm your friend. Why can't you promote me? I'm your friend. I'm dating you. Why are you treating me this way in class? I get that. I get that that's a pitfall of this. What do you think? Good, bad, and different? What's your perspective on this? And this is probably the most controversial topic we ever talked about in this podcast.
Yeah.
Rick, what
I think we got a little bit off on the, with the interpersonal stuff. But if as an instructor, you do have to sort of, like I agree with Lenny and a little bit what Darren said, you got to bring a little professionalism into things. So you don't go, if you're out with the guy, you shouldn't do it if you're by yourself either, but you don't go out with all the guys and get into a fight or start bullying somebody at the bar or something like that. You keep it professional. You're not putting yourself up above them and saying, I'm better than you, but have this, our own moral code of conduct. But that shouldn't necessarily tell the students that I am way up here and you are way down there. This is what you should be like. This is the way you should act, especially now once you get to a point you have the skills to, to endanger people if you get pissed off at them.
Professionalism is the operative word. What do we make of that word?
You said about employment, Bob. The managers and the employees can go out and have a drink, but there's still some professionalism at work. They still have to keep that professionalism at work, even if they go out and they're married or they're friends or whatever outside of work or outside the dojo. In the dojo, you have to keep that professional level attitude.
That's an extremely important point. Sorry, Darren, just let me, or I don't know who that was, but sorry for interrupting.
Yeah, work away.
In is in and out is out. In the dojo, this is our relationship. Outside of the dojo, this is our relationship. And if you're not able to separate those things, then Bob's right. There's no crossing that line. And I'm the first to admit that I have crossed professional lines. That sounds worse than it is. I've dated students. I'm dating a student right now. I've become very good friends with some of the students who were at the club. I don't think, and with all of those people, I have always had the open discussion that, look, this is our relationship. Understand that in is in and out is out, and those lines don't cross. And if you cross them inside the dojo, outside is over. That's how it is, and that's how it needs to be. I will put that parameter on it.
I hear you, and I appreciate where you're coming from. The important point is whether the student is mature enough to draw that line, like, emphatically, like, in their mind. And I can't...
And you're right. It's a
nobody
minefield.
Nobody can say that they can.
No.
Nobody can say that they can't.
Have an open...
What I'm saying is we're not the judge of whether they can. We should or cannot be the judge of whether they can.
When you say we, who are we talking about?
Instructors.
Who else is the judge of that?
There are no other judges. We're the ones who have to judge whether they are mature enough to draw that line completely
in their
brain. This seems to be an absurd discussion It's bordering on absurd now.
Well, Lenny, let me ask you a question.
Look, I think a lot of it boils down to common sense and ethics. And,
yeah, exactly.
You know, and when okay, you know well, to me, cross a line or not cross a line.
To that point, Len, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
I know you're in a long-term, very committed relationship with a lovely girl. I met her when she was when I was in Ireland, and that's awesome. But I want you to imagine for a moment that you're not in that relationship.
Yeah.
Okay? That same girl comes to the dojo as a student. Would you ever consider dating her or not if she was a student before she was someone that you were romantically involved with?
And this is where I go, ugh.
Look, this is a hard question. No, this is, like I said, I don't think we've had a question that's been quite so...
No, and kudos to Bob for bringing this
one. It's a tough question. What do you think, though?
Would I consider it... First and foremost, probably not, because the main reason being, me from a personal point of view, my life outside the dojo is so bloody busy, they probably wouldn't have the time to take me for starters.
Cop out.
But that being said, I think gut feeling probably originally would be no, because to me, you know, it's just... As I said a minute ago, common sense and ethics to me is kind of never. I was realizing never date a coworker, never, you know, this kind of thing, and that would be in the back of my mind. Probably best off to say no.
Darren, what do you think?
I agree both ways, and I just think lines have to be drawn and stuff. But I put it in the sense I'm kind of swaying more your direction because, like, I've worked in a lot of organizations where the CEO or the manager or whatever just doesn't go out with people, and they may go out for a couple of drinks, but they leave after two or three drinks. And if you talk to them, it's like, yeah, I have to work with you, I have to discipline you, I have to do reports on you and all that sort of stuff. I don't want to be out drinking with you, because then it blurs the lines. But the difference there is you're working with them, say, for 8 hours a day, and that's your job and that's your livelihood. If you're going to a 1 to 1.5 to 2 hour class a couple times a week, I don't think that's a big deal. If you go out drinking on a Friday night, you're not disciplining the person the next morning or all day or for the rest of their work life. You're just disciplining them the next time they're up at class for 1 hour. And I think it's a lot easier to distinguish between inside and outside, because it's really just a class. And I don't mean to make this sound harsh, but if one student ends up with a bad experience and isn't able to make that distinction, in the grand scheme of things, there's going to be loads of students that are going to come and go over the years for various reasons.
Wow.
Whether they don't like your teaching methods, or they just don't like you, or the lines got blurred somewhere when you were out drinking. And so if they decide to leave, it's a drag. But at the end of the day, I tend to agree more with you. The human aspect is more important than trying to keep this little bubble going.
Darren just made the point that I was going to make. And I know Bob's not going to agree with me relative to what I'm about to say, and I get that. I think that human interaction and human relationships, and I'm not just talking romantic, I'm talking friendships, I'm talking any definition of human relationship takes a priority above the various things that we do in our life that come into our circle. I think human relationships are so important and so much more important. Okay, Bob, you obviously want to say something.
I have a difficult thing to say. We're co-owners of a business, and we employ people. Where's the line there?
Good, and that's not a difficult thing to say at all. I and this is where I'm kind of sympathetic to Lenny, because Lenny runs his dojo as his livelihood. I would never, ever, ever consider even being close friends with somebody in our business, nor would I consider dating someone from our business, because the level of import of that activity is on a different level. So I think it's more to do with where you measure the import of the activity measured against the human interaction.
I'll stop you right there and say completely agree. It depends on where you draw that line.
Right. Okay. Well, I got
being
Bob
said,
to go
knowing
up.
Your
I completely
business.
Agree. So I want to get off this. All right.
But anyway, I just want to say one thing. It's funny you guys say that, because your business consisted, the first three owners, except for your buddy, two brothers and a husband and wife.
That's actually a really interesting point. That yeah. everybody who was involved in the starting of this business, and it wasn't just the three of us, there were other people who were investors.
There was other ones, but I mean...
All of us had interpersonal relationships at that level, so...
And don't get me started on what difficulties that
yeah, I was talking about that.
Okay, we won't go there.
Okay, look, any last comments on this topic? We'll take a break and go on to the next topic.
Yeah, it'd be awesome if we could move on to... Awesome. If
there's something that Bob is quite so uncomfortable with.
What was the actual topic?
Have we done Oh, forget that. We left that 40 minutes
ago. We morphed that about 50 minutes ago.
Well, you know what? We'll go back to the actual topic after the break. But anyone right. have any last comments to make about this particular topic?
No, I do it. I have one. And that is, I greatly appreciate the willingness of everybody involved to talk about this shit. That's been difficult. This is a difficult conversation, and way to go for doing.
I just to throw my own little comment on there, this is why I started the podcast, because I want to talk about stuff that I didn't find it difficult at all. I found it refreshing. I think we should talk about this stuff. I think people need to be brought to account, or at least to talk about stuff like this, because it's a part... It's a, what is it now? It's a part of these relationships and these kind of circumstances. So I love this conversation. Okay, anybody else got anything to say? I'll take the silence as a no, and we're going to go into a break. Let's take a break for a pee, and we'll pour a drink. We'll be back in a little bit. All right, folks. Thanks.
Nice. Nice.
Pee 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 pee. Yep. Pee.
All right.
Okay, folks, we're back. Stop it. Okay, folks, we're back from the break. I want to open this up to you guys. We've had, 24 podcasts. This is the 24th podcast. So have there been any topics that you guys have thought about and would like to revisit, or that we never visited at all? Yep. And let's talk about those. I think Len has one. So I just want to set this up. I just want to frame this. Talking about things that we've talked about in the past that maybe weren't resolved enough, or maybe we didn't talk about enough, or that we never got to at all. So, Len, take it away. What do you got?
I've got a list, but we'll just do one for the moment. and I will firmly eat humble pie here, and I've totally changed my entire perspective on this. And you've actually had it on one of the talking points of, does kata have a place as an aesthetic presentation, or does it need to be part of practicality to have any value? And I argued here with three of you guys a couple of months back, and I defended it to the hilt, and I'm sorry, I'm going to turn around and do a U-turn now and say, it's nice to know, it's nice to look at, but no interest.
Wow.
I defended the virtues of kata, would have had any benefit in practicality, and I nailed my colours to the mast firmly here. It was beneficial, it would do this, that, it was good for focus, it was good for this. But after the last year discussing here, and then training with other people from other disciplines, and then going away and training in Thailand for a week, which I said a couple of weeks ago, made me rethink everything.
Yeah.
I just had a total thing that, you know, kata is lovely as if somebody wants to practice breathing and focus, but other than that, I don't see any other practical benefit of it whatsoever.
Lenny, this is an amazing admission from you.
Yeah, I'll stand up and, yes, Your Honor, I'm guilty as charged.
Just out of curiosity, Len, are you gonna phase kata out of your curriculum?
That one I don't know, because we actually had a meeting yesterday within the dojo. The other thing, and again, I stood here and castigated Kempo as it's taught all the world over at the moment, and the way I've looked at it and gone, hang on a second, am I the only guy who's teaching this way? And then I said, well, am I actually teaching Kempo anymore? And I've actually sat down with my whole panel of instructors and said, are we going to rebrand? Are we going to redo our curriculum? Separate kata? And it's just a discussion point we're having at the moment. Yeah, total changing mindset.
Now, wait a second. This bears some comment. Lenny is rethinking his entire philosophy behind his teaching. And I just want to say that that's remarkable. I just want to say that who else ever does that? And that's all I'm going to say.
I agree with Bob. That's an incredibly profound shift in perspective. And not only a shift in perspective, but just the fact that you would entertain that shift is remarkable. But let's talk about that a little bit.
Somebody and else, correct, please come in.
No,
Lenny, as far as that goes, it's good that you thought about it. But I still say it depends on what you want to do. And for me personally, yeah, kata will always be a very large part of my martial arts. Always will be.
Why, Rick?
Always will be. I like it. If for no other reason, okay. I like it.
That's the very discussion we had yesterday. You've got students who want to be fighters. You've got students who just enjoy the physical workout, and you've got students who don't like that physical side who like kata. Yeah. So, do you deny them because you just don't like it anymore? You don't. You're disillusioned with it anymore.
What emphasis do you put on it? How many hours a week do you teach it? That's the question.
In the last 6 months to a year, less and less.
Lenny, correct me if I'm wrong, but the training at your club tends to take a very practical application, yeah?
As much as we can, yeah, yeah.
Is it fair to say, and I don't want to lay this phrase out there, I'm asking it as a question, is it fair to say that you tend to look at those aspects of martial arts that are not immediately connectable to practicality as less valuable?
In a nutshell, I suppose, yeah. So, I mean,
that's interesting.
That's a hard question, man. That's a really hard question.
Well, he just answered
question.
It. It's no, hard I mean, for you. No, it's Len's it's got me, Len's fine yeah. with it.
No,
no, it's made me question, Bob.
I'm predicting that Lenny may have a difficulty in, like, I'm putting myself in Lenny's place, and that's not fair. But anybody who asks you how much practicality you put in your emphasis on your teaching, of course you're going to say a lot. And,
I won't. I don't give a shit about practicality. Never have. I don't care. When I teach karate,
You're insane.
This is why it's hard to be honest, because Bob says shit like that. I am a huge advocate of kata, and we can talk for hours about why, but I don't pretend that kata is practical. I do not bow at the altar of kata like so many traditional martial artists do. Okay, so let's get off kata. Let's talk about anything that doesn't immediately lend itself to practicality. I don't understand why practicality seems to wear the crown of ultimate importance in the martial arts. Look, I'm a 60-year-old guy. I live a fairly peaceful life and have my entire life. I don't train to fight in MMA tournaments. My personal life doesn't lend itself to circumstances where I get into fights very often, if at all. So why does that mean that my training is less valuable because it doesn't have a practical application?
Can I jump in and say you're right? You're right.
But this is the
question. What about your students? Let's put that in there.
If let's pretend for a second that I'm running a club, I would say to my students, look, this is what I'm teaching you. If you don't want to come here, that's fine.
Whoa. And you're not the head instructor.
I wouldn't say that at this club because I'm not the head instructor. I said, I were running a club, this is how I would present myself. I would never say that to a student at the club I train at now because that's not my place.
That's
the
pretty
instructor.
Weird. It's, you got to admit it's pretty weird. I don't care
what's
how
pretty
practical.
Weird. What's weird?
I don't care what I do is practical, and yet right. I'm teaching. And that's because of our style. You're brought up in a style, and you're supposed to pass on the style. You pass on the style, I guess, as best as you can. But that's the root of this problem, right? Like, the style says you do it this way, so we got to do it that way, I guess. You can't change it, because then you're changing the style, and who the hell's going to do that? So what do you do? What do you do as a teacher?
My thing is, like, if the gym I go to is just like a health club, And the reason I go to this health club is because it has a pool, a steam room, it has weights, it has a cardio kickboxing class, it has, say, step aerobics, it has the TRX things, it has yoga, it has all these things under one roof. It's kind of like a Tiger Muay Thai. So you decide on whatever particular day what discipline you want to take that day. And I tend to take it all because I enjoy it all. I'm not trying to be a cardio fanatic. I'm not trying to be a weightlifter or a bodybuilder. So I like to dabble in it all. And the same thing when you go to a place like Tiger Muay Thai, there's everything from cardio classes to grappling to Muay Thai to kickboxing, all this stuff. And you can decide what you want to go to and whatever your reasons of going to. Ideally, that's why I kind of like not a traditional MMA class where they're just training how to fight in a cage. But something, say, almost like Lenny's place, where they have MMA classes, they have cardio classes, and they have traditional karate. And it's all under one roof, and you can just decide which one entertains you and what benefits you get out of it. And you may start off in an MMA class and try a couple karate classes and decide karate is more for you. You like that particular aspect, you like the kata, and that's what you kind of go toward. And you still might cross train and go to the other classes, but the option is there. So I'd be kind of in the framework, kind of what Jason was talking about, where like nowadays I would not want to be just solely at a traditional karate club because I don't feel I'm getting other aspects. It's not about practicality, it's just about something that I'd be entertained doing. So I like to have the option on any particular night, what I want to do on that particular night, whether I want to be practical or whether I just want to do something else.
That's a great idea for someone who is mature in their martial arts training, but there must be some room for a student who wants to devote themselves to one thing for 5 years. And
and that's fine. And then they go on the internet and they go try out a few clubs and they make their decision on what it is they want to do. So if you're just starting off and you like traditional karate, that's what you get into. If you like MMA, that's what you get into. If you like competing, that's what you'll get into.
But unless you devote yourself to something without considering any other options, then you're not going to be the best you can be at that thing. That's all I'm saying.
That's fine. I'm not the best at anything.
What if you wanted to be like, you know, my only point is, I don't know what my point is. I give up.
All right, let's rein this in a little bit. So, Lenny, you had started this whole mess with your with this whole
epiphany moment.
Encapsulate what you had said in terms of, you know, what your thought processes has altered to over the last year?
I like a lot of us, I suppose what kickstarted all of this was we had 2 years where you couldn't really train in classes. You know, we were all left teaching things virtually online, and that in itself sent me down a whole rabbit hole of how the hell do you can teach, and for me, keep a roof over my head, this thing online. Oh, yeah. So I had to go into a whole thing of, okay, I've got to have stuff that you can do at home that's going to be somewhat fun and practical, particularly for younger members. And
Lenny, I got to say, I admire you for surviving during that fucking thing.
Yeah, totally.
It was sink or swim, Bob. It was actually sink or swim, Jesus. Really, you know? I was doing about 10 video classes a week live for 2 years. Oh. And we managed to survive it, but it's what opened the door for me of the whole rethinking the practical side of it, because, you know, yourself teaching a traditional karate class or kata online for someone doing it at home is not going to work. So when things reopened, then I suppose my whole way of teaching and thought process around it had shifted a bit. And then we go back to people who are preparing for grades, and you're looking at the syllabus we've worked off from when time began. You look at some techniques you're going through, and then defense techniques, and you're going, do you know what? That's why are we even teaching this? It's, you know. So it started me questioning that, and that then had a knock-on effect to thinking more and more about the practicalities of things. And then from Jason's angle, like, it's nice to be proficient at a lot of stuff. To me, I'd gone not as far as I can go with my karate, because I was always looking to learn more from other styles, and there's so much out there. There's always got, every day is a school day. There's got to be more you can learn. So it set me ahead into turmoil. Then I went away and trained in different styles and saw the way different practical situations were over in Tiger Muay Thai as well in Thailand. And it just set me into a whole whirlpool of where do we go next? do we change things? Do we keep it as it was? Do we make a hybrid? Do we just make our syllabus even longer, traditional, and this? And it's still a work in progress now.
So let me jump in here and say, look, this is something we're going to tackle on a future podcast for sure. Stylistic evolution is going to be the topic, and this, what Lenny's been talking about, factors directly into that. So let's leave that for now.
Yeah.
Does anybody else have anything they want to say about perspectives they've had that may have changed how the podcast has impacted your perspective on the martial arts over the last year? We're running down to the last 10 or 15 minutes. So please, if anyone has anything they'd like to say.
I just want to, like, listening to what Lenny just said, I got to admire this guy. This has nothing to do with your last talking point. I just have to say to Lenny, I admire you for what you've gone through and that you're still there. And that's it. Okay, I'm done.
All right, guys. Look, we're going to bring this one to an end. Let's go around the table one more time. And just any last thoughts about what we've talked about or the podcast in general, since that's what this has been about.
This has been a great episode, and I love talking about it. And you guys, no, I sincerely, you guys are great, and it has been so fun talking to you, and that's it.
What do you think the odds are that Bob will stop talking now?
All I can say is that I've been vindicated for a few weeks ago.
Good point. Good point.
I think you're vindicated for life after tonight, Rick.
Fucking hell. Okay, Lenny, any last thoughts?
You really want me to have thoughts? I think I bombarded you with enough.
No new topics, dude.
What I will say, look, you started out with this a year ago, and I think every one of us here sat and thought, wow, how much can we get out of this? But every week it's just there's more and more and more. And by virtue of what I've said tonight, this podcast has been instrumental in exploding my whole mind for martial arts even further. So kudos for that. Here's to the next year and beyond.
Yeah.
And I would love to be able to do a video one of these someday.
You know what? Cheers. I've thought about doing a video podcast, but I think it... But you know what? That's a different topic. We'll talk about it later.
What, Darren, I will say is you guys are coming here...
Some
of you guys are coming here in April. We've got to do one while you're all here in April.
Oh, yeah. That would be a riot. Yeah. That would be awesome.
That's me done.
Yeah. I'm not sure what the topic is.
It's a wrap-up.
This will sound weird, but to anyone who's been hungover and actually appreciates a hangover, I swear to God. No, here, I know it sounds funny and everything, but I was
Which
so
I think we all have.
Sick today. Okay, no, but I mean a proper one. I was so sick today, and I didn't where I was, I didn't leave the place till about 5:30 this afternoon, and it was in my head I had to do this podcast, and I remember talking to the people I was with, and I'm like, yeah, I got to get going. I got to do a podcast. And they're like, oh, geez, there's four other people on there. Like, just leave it for tonight. They don't need you. And I'm like, well, no, I kind of want to do it. But I was so sick, I didn't want to do it. And I hated that it was on a Sunday, and I wish it had been on a Friday. And I tried to go for a nap, and I tried to eat, and I was so sick. And I didn't think I'd be able to do it. And within about 5 minutes of the podcast starting, it's like a cloud lifted in, and I was encapsulated in the podcast, and I forgot about all my illnesses and everything, and I was just mesmerized by the podcast. And that's the kind of effect it has on me. And I'm kind of like Mitch in the sense that I don't really give a shit who listens to this or where it goes from here. Right. For me, it's almost like a spiritual thing where I just look forward to it. I have
Jesus
to do it.
Christ.
And it drags me out of anything that I've been in. So it's I can't even voice that properly. That it's just like I'm in a good mood now, which I wasn't in 2 hours ago. And that's what it's doing for me. So I don't know what anybody else is getting out of it. I don't know what the listeners get out of it, but that's what I get out of it.
Yeah. Holy crap. That's
a pretty awesome speech.
That's quite a testimonial. Holy shit. Jace, I know you haven't been on more than this is the second one, but any final thoughts you want to throw out there?
Jason, this is it, right? We won't hear you again for a long time.
Well, I would like to try to get on these things again. Like, of course, the time, we'll have to try see if we can figure out the time, because, you know, in Japan it's 13 hours ahead of Canada. But no, it's been cool. I've enjoyed listening to you guys. The banter is good.
you know, it's just been kind of fun. And same as Darren, you know, I was a little hungover myself, not as bad as he was, but it kind of, you know, it sort of raises my spirits and puts you into a better place. And yeah, so, but again, you know, just as Lenny said, Mitch, congratulations on the first year, and I hope all the success in the coming years.
Good to talk to you, Jason.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you, Bob. And I'll be back. I'll be back. But that's a promise, not a threat. Or however
you take it. Let's raise a glass to the first year of the podcast, man.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, cheers, okay, everybody.
Yeah, right. Cheers.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Cheers.
Wait, are you telling me I have to take a drink? Okay.
You got to take a drink, Bob.
How will Bob overcome?
And Mitch.
I did it, you guys.
Jesus Christ.
And Mitch, as much as we've castigated the whole black belt shouldn't be on a pedestal, I mean, you know, give yourself a pat on the back for it. You launched this, and it's your baby, and you keep all of us in check every week. And all
the fucking madness that goes.
No, Bob, don't. Bob, pull in the horns. you told me how awesome I was a few weeks ago. I appreciate it. Okay. So let's all show. Let's all show. It has to be said. Appreciation for Mitch. Appreciation for Mitch and all this. Fair play, man. Give yourself a pat on the back, bud.
Hey, Rick, so what do you think? Last comments, Rick. What do you think?
The last year has been good. I've enjoyed the shows I have been on. It's been like, you know, sitting around after the club or something, but it's a little more directed. The conversation has questions that we have to get into, so it's very, very directed at karate. And I've enjoyed the ones that I wasn't on because I've listened to them all. And it's been a great time. And Mitch, thanks for doing it. It's been an honor being here, man.
All right, guys. My comments are this podcast is nothing without the people who come on it.
God damn it.
Just look, Bob, turn your mic off just for a minute.
All right.
Let me get through this. The podcast is nothing without the people who come on it. I started this podcast for a very specific reason. I would like to think I've held true to that reason. I want to give people a platform to discuss the martial arts. I wanted to give myself a platform to discuss the martial arts in an open, non-judgmental, and completely without boundaries kind of way. So I look back on the last year, and I'm not even going to say I'm proud. I'm very satisfied with what's happened in the last year. I think it's been a good thing. I think we've presented more good than bad. I think we've had some conversations that shifted perspectives. And I'm going to be very sincere here. If anybody who's listening to this podcast has given themselves, as a result of listening, a moment to go, maybe I should think about something more than I have, it's all been worth it, because that's what I get out of it. I get an opportunity to speak my mind, and I get an opportunity to critique my own thoughts, to go back over what I think. And very often I end up thinking something differently. I can't imagine a better reason to have a bunch of people come together and talk. So that's my perspective on this. I have to say, I think the podcast has been a success up till now. We'll try to do better in the future. So heartfelt thanks to everybody who's been on the podcast tonight, for sure. I want to send thanks out to anybody who was on the podcast who wasn't on tonight, because there have been a number. And I hope we get more people on next year. So that's it, folks. Thanks so much. We're going to bring this one to an end. Again, No Mind Podcast. Comments on the Mitch Maxine Facebook page or the No Mind Podcast Facebook page, or send an email to nomindpodcast2021@gmail.com with heartfelt thanks to what I'm going to define as a successful first year. Thanks, folks. We're done.